It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
Give it all you got, take your very best shot, and may the best team win. The time is now, the name of the game is action. They're on the floor and they're ready to score, so let the game begin. And let's see how the ball's gonna bounce today.
Today's NBA is fantastic. Stay with me. In the early 1980s, the NBA's slogan was NBA action, it's fantastic. The national television commercial showed early 1980s basketball stars Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and Julius Dr. J. Irving in action. And mixed in among the highlights were happy NBA fans standing and cheering and waving their towels and whooping it up at a pro basketball game. The slogan was a little bit cheesy, but it really worked. It helped to refocus the public's attention on the influx of some very talented young players coming into the league back in the early 1980s. After Michael Jordan joined the league in 1984, the NBA's popularity in America and worldwide began to soar. And so did the players' salaries and the owners' values of their NBA franchises. The decade of the 1970s and the National Basketball Association were not very good for the sport. In most markets, sellouts were very rare, and ticket prices were actually affordable. I still have a 1976 ticket stub from a Houston Rockets basketball game, which was played at the Summit Arena. It cost $4.50, that's right, $4.50, for a good seat in the lower promenade section of that arena, which is now home, by the way, to Joel Osteen's megachurch. Back in the 1970s, the NBA struggled to find a national television partner. It was CBS. But the NBA's television ratings were so weak that the network tape delayed the Friday night playoff games and ran them after your local news at 10:30 p.m. Central Time. It didn't help that pro basketball, the NBA and its competitor in the American Basketball Association, or the ABA, were both losing fans as many talented players developed some serious drug issues and a recession was deepening in the U.S. Such was the life for players in their 82-game regular season back in the 1970s. Teams were traveling via commercial airlines, yes, commercial airlines, and even by bus to some games, and they stayed in mid-level hotels by night. In the 1970s, the NBA player salaries were still pretty high compared to the average American worker. The Boston Celtics legendary player John Hondo Havlicek was one of the NBA's highest-paid stars, making $250,000 a year in 1977. And the NBA's average salary that year in 77 was about $130,000. My first full-time job coming out of college in 77 came with a salary of about $12,000 a year. Your brown bag-toting rookie office nerd here was making about 10% of an average NBA player's salary. My times have changed, at least for those basketball players. In 2022, one source indicated that the average college graduate in America was being offered a job paying about $55,000 a year. Now that includes all majors, from the engineers down to the lowly history majors. It equates to about a 4 times rise over my starting salary 40-something years ago in 1977. But last year, the average NBA player's salary had jumped to a whopping $9.6 million a year, and that's 73 times an increase from 1977. Perhaps I should have worked a little bit harder on my defense and vertical jump during high school basketball season instead of those math, science, and English classes. Oh well. Thanks to the increased bidding competition for television network rights for NBA basketball games from the cable outlets such as ESPN and Turner Network Television and others, the league's team owners and the players have been sharing in a fast-growing pool of money. Even though television viewership for the NBA's regular season and playoff games seems to be kind of range-bound and stuck in a certain level, every new television deal they get adds even more money to the pot for those team owners and the players to share together. NBA teams now have their own private aircraft to fly the players and the coaches to the out-of-town games. They stay in the most exclusive hotels. A training staff is always available to keep these multimillionaires able to lace up their sneakers for as many of the 82 regular season games as possible. Yep, life is pretty good today for the NBA players. So why are so many of them getting angry lately? Anyone who's ever attended or watched any sporting event in the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, will tell you that the opposing team's players, heck, even for the home team's players sometimes, are subjected to rather severe taunting and vulgarity from those Philly fans. Now, this tradition has been going on for decades, and as long as the players are not threatened or harmed, it's ugly, but it's generally harmless. And in other NBA cities, particularly those in the Northeast and of all places in Salt Lake City, Utah, they have very notoriously vocal and excitable fans too. But I've noticed a different trend happening recently. NBA players are increasingly stopping the play on the basketball court, grabbing a referee, and pointing out one or more obnoxious fans. And the player then asks the referee and the arena security to eject that paying customer or customers for hurling words which the basketball player may have found offensive. Now, I find this kind of laughable. Hang with me. Have you ever noticed the back-and-forth taunting and personal insults which the players hurl at each other on the basketball court? Yeah, those players may claim solidarity when off the court, but the trash-talking on an NBA basketball court is X-rated most every night. Courtside seats for attending an NBA basketball game in 2023 can cost you up to $1,000 apiece per game. Imagine being told to leave your seats just because you just insulted one of the players. Though it seems to be a bit harsh, the NBA home arenas usually allow these things to happen. Here's the warning which is given to unruly fans by the home arena of the Houston Rockets this year. Quote, Toyota Center may refuse admission to or eject any holder without refund who is deemed to be disorderly, who fails to comply with the terms of this license or any or in all security measures in effect. Wow. In Orlando, Florida recently, Washington Wizards guard Bradley Beal, who earns just $43 million a year, or let's make that $524,000 per game this year, was involved in an incident involving a couple of local fans this month. Following the Wizards game against the Orlando Magic, Bradley Beal took offense as a local fan yelled, with an expletive at the end of that comment, that Washington's loss in that game had just cost the man $1,300. The Wizards guard, who is one of the highest paid players in the NBA, turned and walked right toward the man and his friend. And Beal swatted the hat off the head of the man's friend and also struck him in the head. Well, as you probably guessed, both sides are now getting lawyered up for a possible tangle in the Orlando court system soon. My mom used to say, two wrongs don't make a right, son. And she was indeed correct. LeBron James is one of the most loved and hated players in NBA history. Once his playing days are finished, he could make millions more on the professional wrestling circuit based on the positive and negative crowd reactions that he receives in arenas all around the NBA. In 2021, LeBron James asked the arena security to escort a man and a woman out of their expensive courtside seats in Indianapolis during an Indiana Pacers home game. The couple apparently was getting a little bit too vocal with their dislike for LeBron. So he stopped the game himself and pointed out the offending parties. Those two fans were escorted right out of the arena while being loudly cheered by the home crowd in Indianapolis. So whatever happened to the old saying about sticks and stones these days? In 2023, the NBA averages nearly 18,000 fans in attendance for each home game played every night. That equates to 96% of all NBA tickets being sold for every game during an 82-game regular season. That's amazing. The prices for those NBA tickets varies widely from team to team. So if you live in the Orlando area and you want to watch an Orlando Magic game, it will cost an average, from the courtside area to the upper deck cheap seats, of about $100 per home game. In Los Angeles, though, you're going to be asked to dole out almost $500 per ticket on average to watch LeBron James and the Lakers play a home game. So that's why I roll my eyes thinking about how silly the NBA players seem to be acting recently with regard to fan interactions. Without such a large in-person paid gate for every home game, plus those 2 million or so fans watching at home on nationally televised NBA games, the values of the franchises and the players' salary would be much, much lower. Financially speaking, it's never been better for the NBA players and the owners. As long as the TV networks continue to bid up those broadcast rights, the outlook is terrific. And remember this, just 40 years ago, the average NBA team struggled to break even financially and even sell half of their tickets for a home game. Just one NBA game was being nationally televised each week of the regular season. So instead of stopping the basketball game to get a few of the inebriated foul-mouthed fans tossed from their $1,000 courtside seats, perhaps more of today's NBA players should concentrate on playing four quarters of basketball and just be thankful that so many people are willing to show up and watch. Wouldn't it be great if one of the home team basketball players grabbed a microphone after the game and thanked all the fans in the arena and those watching at home for their support? Yeah, right. You can forget about that in 2023. Today's NBA has become fantastic. Get it? I'm Swamp Swami.